Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory, God, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we bless you on tonight, God. Oh, Lord, we glorify your holy name on tonight. Oh, God, we lift your name on high on tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Beloved, this is Cornerstone Deliverance Church. This is our Wednesday night Bible study via conference call. Our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. And we are located at 323 Post Avenue in Westbury, New York, 11590. Amen. Beloved, tonight, hallelujah, Jesus, in Bible study as we go forth, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask even now, hallelujah, Lord, that you hide me behind your cross. Don't let it be me that the people see or hear, but let it be you, O God. Let it be your word that speak to their heart, that speak to their spirit. Lord, we ask that you illuminate the very eyes of their understanding, that they know the hope of your calling in them, the inheritance, O God, that you have in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, on tonight, amen, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel. Amen, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Amen, and we're going to begin to read. Amen, we're going to stay in Samuel tonight because there was so much meat there that, hallelujah, that I would really like to get the fullness of it out, my God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, amen, hallelujah. And what we want you to see from this text, amen, hallelujah, is how with just faith, amen, and childbearing, amen, was Hannah very influential in the role that she played in the history of Israel, amen. It was so influential, amen, that we're still reading about it and talking about it today. Amen? And so we thank God and we want you to know how important your faith is and how important your faith being fruitful is. Amen? So let's turn to the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Amen. And beloved, I'm going to begin to read. Amen? It says, amen. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And verse 2 says, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now we in verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and their daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 6 says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up a womb. Verse 7 says, as he, which is Elkanah, did so year by year, when she, Hannah, went up to the house of the Lord, so she, Peninnah, provoked her. Therefore she, Hannah, wept and did not eat. Verse 8 says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Verse 9 says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. Verse 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. Verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16 says, count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of this abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20 says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Verse 22 says, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems thee good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, and they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. and he worshiped the Lord there. Amen. And the word of God is blessed. Amen. Beloved, amen. I want to speak to you from this text what the Holy Spirit had revealed to me. Amen. Concerning Hannah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know that, hallelujah, in this life that we all have gone through some things and been through some things and could have been ridiculed from time to time concerning things concerning us. Amen. But the story of Hannah, it presents a sharp contrast with that of Deborah. You will find the story of the prophetess Deborah in Judges 4. She is another significant woman of Ephraim. Amen. From the period of the Judges, Deborah's career impacted Israelite society through political clout, judicial leadership, and a prophetic activity. Amen. So Deborah was a judge when it was not popular for women, amen, to be taught or to lead from the temple. Amen. Deborah did her work up under a palm tree. Amen. Hallelujah. And all of Israel came unto her. And as Samuel was a judge and judged between the people and their differences and their problems, amen, and was the voice of God to the people, so was Deborah. Amen. Hannah's effect on Israel society came through the gentle forces of faith and motherhood. So where Deborah had political clout, where she was a judicial judge and God spoke through her, she knew the mind of God, or she spoke the mind of God as it was revealed to her by way of the Spirit of God. Hannah just had faith in motherhood. Hannah's situation was different. Amen. Hannah, hallelujah, the word of God, amen, in Genesis told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth. It also told Noah, amen, after the flood and his family, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. These are the same words that God spoke to Jacob, amen, to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth, amen. But the word of God tells us here that the very thing that he told Hannah to do, she could not do because the Lord had shut up her womb. Amen. So Hannah's issue was not due to, hallelujah, some type of physical illness. It wasn't physical for Hannah. Amen. It was something that the Lord had done. Amen. So let us look at here where it says, the Lord gives barren and humiliated Hannah a son in answer to her prayer through Hannah. The point is made that women of faith played a legitimate and even formative being influential, decisive, determinative role in shaping Israel history. Amen. Hannah's faith turned the tide of the period of the judges. Amen. By producing the transitional figure Samuel. Hallelujah. What God had shut up in Hannah was the very thing that he was trying to bring forth through her. Amen. But there is a set time for all things to come forth. Even though God prophesied the coming of Jesus that Mary would be saved in childbearing, there was a set time for Jesus to come. And he tarried 42 generations from the time that God spoke it in Genesis. Amen. And it says here that a woman with a purpose needs faith. A woman with a purpose needs determination. A woman with a purpose needs a fervent and effectual prayer life. Hannah was a woman with a purpose. The purpose that Hannah had was to give birth according to the blessing of the Lord upon all creation to be fruitful. Excuse me, and multiply and replenish the earth. But because the Lord, according to the word of God, has shut up Hannah's womb, Hannah was not able to do so. So we see here that Hannah is going to come to know God in an all-new way. Amen. Hallelujah. The very thing that God said that blessed the human race to do, Hannah could not do. Amen. So Hannah has to develop an intimate relationship with God to know that he is the giver of life, that he takes life away, and that he is in control of human destiny. Amen. And we all need to know that there's things that we want, or the prophetic could be locked up in us. And the reason why I say that is because, amen, I believe that the coming of Samuel was predestined by God, that God knew that Samuel was coming, but he needed to get Hannah in that place where Hannah would be so desperate that she would want to vow and give Samuel back to God. I believe that, hallelujah. And so I also believe, amen, that what Hannah was carrying was so precious that the shutting up of her womb was protection, amen, for what God was bringing forth through Hannah. Because Samuel wasn't only prophet, Samuel wasn't only judge, but Samuel was also priest, amen. And we know that the word of God speaks of Hannah's husband Elkanah being an Ephraimite, amen. But you will find that even though Hannah married an Ephraimite, Hannah was a Levite. There was something that Hannah knew about worship, because remember, the Levite was that tribe of Jacob, amen, that served in the house of God in the temple. Eli the priest at Shiloh, he was a Levite. Amen. Hallelujah. So, beloved, you will find here, amen, as we continue in the scripture, amen, that the Lord may create a social and natural tragedy in order to accomplish his purpose, amen. And I want you to know that this far outweighs the calamity. There's nothing that you are going through that God can't bring you out of. The Lord sometimes engineers social tragedies, yet he carries them out, amen, that the work of God may be displayed, amen. If we were to go to John chapter 9, verse 3, John chapter 9, verse 3, amen, there was a man that was blind from his birth, amen, and when Jesus healed him, amen, Jesus' disciples wanted to know, Jesus, who has sinned? What is the reason for this man being blind? Was it him or his parents that have sinned? And Jesus replied to him, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Amen. And so the word of God tells us that God shut up Hannah's womb. Amen. And I believe that Hannah's womb was shut up that the works of God would be displayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Accordingly, human tragedy can be properly evaluated, amen, and appreciated, amen, only when viewed with a consideration of the end results and ultimate purpose brought about by God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Even though God has shut up Hannah's womb, but I believe that God purposed for Hannah to be fruitful, that he purposed, amen, for Hannah to be able to bring forth much fruit. Thank you, Jesus. And posture, let us look at this for a minute, because this passage also teaches us that true power is to be found not in one's position in society, but in one's posture, being one's attitude, one's stance, one's position, and I would say before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because only what we do for God is going to last. And so your posture is the right way to stand, your right way to walk, and your right way to sit. Your posture can reflect your spiritual attitude, and your posture can reflect the position of your body. Amen. So, beloved, we want to be mindful. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we want you to know, amen, that, hallelujah, that your posture, amen, hallelujah, toward the Lord, hallelujah, can determine the outcome of certain events. Amen. Furthermore, this passage suggests that spiritual power triumphs over social power. Socially powerless individuals can transform social institutions through faith in the Lord, and in the process can triumph over their own circumstances. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be socially powerless, but spiritually powerful and transform, hallelujah, social issues. Amen. And then fix your own circumstance. Amen. Hannah, let's take a look at the meaning of Hannah's name. Hannah means gracious woman or favored by God. And I like this because not only did God bring forth through Hannah the child Samuel, amen, that she vowed to give back to God if he would give her a man child. When Hannah carried out that vow, and her name meaning gracious woman or favored by God or grace, amen, God gave Hannah 5 children after Samuel. So Hannah had a total of 6 children, amen. Samuel, the first child, the first fruits of her womb, did she give back to God. We have to know how to give God the first fruits of everything, amen, that he gives unto us. Because if we remember, amen, life, amen, hallelujah, is God to give. That was his to give. Hannah's womb was shut up, and if God did not unlock Hannah's womb, amen, Hannah would not have conceived. So Hannah gave the first fruits of her womb back to God, hallelujah, and God then blessed her and favored her, and Hannah had, in grace being the number 5 or the number 5 meaning grace, Hannah had 5 more children, hallelujah, and we have to learn to be faithful, amen, hallelujah. When it comes down to sowing and reaping, amen, Hannah sowed the light, hallelujah, for the work of God, the first fruits from her womb, and God gave her, hallelujah, she reaped 5 more children, hallelujah, Jesus. And beloved, for those of you, amen, that's not familiar with, hallelujah, giving and receiving and sowing and reaping, amen, tithing is the foundation, amen, of giving and receiving. Tithing is the foundation of giving and receiving. And today you will find that people don't tithe like they used to. Hallelujah. And you can truly only tithe by faith. This is why the word of God says faith come by hearing and by hearing of the word of God. Once you hear the word of God concerning these things, concerning tithing, concerning offering, concerning first fruits, amen, even the first fruits of your day, that you should give God that time. Hallelujah, Jesus. You have to know how to give God what is due God, my God. Some of us, we go throughout the day and we don't spend no time in the word. We don't spend no time in prayer. But God desires for you to give him the first fruits of your day. Rise a little early. Spend some time with God. Amen. Set your day in order and let it be set in order according to God's will and plan for your life. Amen. Amen, beloved. Amen. So we want to take, we took a look at Hannah's name, meaning gracious woman or favored by God or grace. The name of Hannah's adversary, Penina, means pearl, which is precious stone. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God says that Penina was Hannah's adversary. Amen. She taunted Hannah, my God, even especially around the time when they went up to worship. Amen. Did Penina torture Hannah more? Did she ridicule her? Because the portion that they received from the sacrifice that the husband Elkanah did give, amen, it was to go to the wife and the children, but Hannah had none. But Elkanah loved Hannah enough, amen, so much that he did give unto her, and he gave her a worthy or a double portion, amen. I want to look at the character of Hannah's husband for a minute, because I believe that it's important when a woman is going through and she has a husband, amen. What type of man is he? Is he a godly man? Amen. Is he leading his family into righteousness? Amen. So this text tells us that Elkanah consistently portrayed as one who was devoted to the Lord. 2, he was a worshiper. His piety, devoutness is suggested first by the fact that year after year he went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. Three, according to the Torah, every Israelite family was to make the journey to Israel's central Yahwistic worship center, and that right there was in Shiloh. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 12:5-7. Shown to be a man submissive to the Torah and strong in his domestic leadership by leading his family in annual trips to Shiloh. Amen. The same God who in the Torah commanded humanity and specifically Israel to be fruitful and multiply, we saw that, amen, he is the same God that shut up Anna's womb. We want to give you those scriptures for that. Genesis 1:28 was one scripture where God said be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 9:1 was another scripture where God gave the command to be fruitful and multiply. And Genesis 35:11 was another scripture where God gave the command, amen, to be fruitful and to multiply. Amen. Amen, beloved. Let us see what else is here within this text. Hallelujah. Let us take a look at how Hannah's sterile condition cause for her, what type of effect did it have on her? The Word of God says that Apostle Paul, amen, or Saul, before he was known to be the Apostle Paul, that he would suffer much for the sake of the gospel, amen. And I see here God shutting up Hannah's womb brought on some suffering for her. Amen. It made her vulnerable to ridicule. Amen. Her rival provoked her in order to irritate her. Her rival being Penina. And I heard the Word of God say that God prepared the table for us in the presence of our enemies. Beloved God, he prepared the table for us in the presence of our enemy. And he tells you that your enemy will be present at the table that he has prepared for you. God did not promise you that he will remove your enemy from the table. So some of us, amen, instead of being focused on what God has prepared for us, we're giving too much attention to the enemy at the table, amen. But what I loved about this text that when Hannah went up to Shiloh, amen, and she went into the Lord's house to pray, that when she spoke to God, that Hannah did not mention her enemy, Penina, not one time. So, beloved, I want to share with you that you have to learn to be focused and learn to keep the right focus instead of giving your enemy attention, instead of giving your illness attention, your affliction, that type of attention where you make it bigger than God, where you deem it to be hopeless and helpless. Amen. You ought to give God that attention. You ought to keep your focus on God. Keep your face on Jesus Christ like flint. Amen. Be flat-footed and immovable. Look into the cross. Amen. To the cross as your provision. Amen. So now, beloved, what I want you to see here is that in spite of Hannah's infertility, amen, Hannah was a woman of faith. Amen. To unlock what God has locked up in Hannah, amen, one must be like Hannah, amen, and do what is not common, amen. It was, Anna was different. Anna was distinctive, amen. And what I want to say to you today is that it's all right to be unique. For the Word of God says that we are wonderfully and uniquely made, amen? And so it's all right for you to embrace your uniqueness, hallelujah. And because you're different, you should not be ridiculed because you're different. But you will find that, hallelujah, some people, amen, when they see that you are not like them or different from them, they will ridicule you. Let us look at the type of woman that Hannah is and what it is that she had done different. Amen. Hannah here says, one, Hannah, she is shown going up to the Lord's house when no other woman in the Old Testament is mentioned to do this. Amen. Deborah, amen, was not in the Lord's house. She was up under, amen, the palm tree, amen. But Hannah, amen, got bold. Hallelujah. She had an issue. Her womb was locked up. She had no child for her husband who loved her dearly. Amen. And her husband Elkanah was not the giver of life, but God, he is the giver of life. Amen. So Hannah went into the Lord's house. And it says here that in addition, Hannah is the only woman shown making and fully fulfilling, amen, a vow to the Lord. Hannah did not go to God empty-handed. If you want an intimate relationship with God, it ought to be a give and take thing. It should not be you just going to God in prayer and asking for things. Hannah went before the Lord with a vow. Hannah was very specific when she prayed. She prayed for a man child specifically, something that would carry on the name of her husband. Amen. The vow that Hannah vowed was that she would give the first fruits of her womb, the first child that came forth, that she would give him unto God and would not put a razor to his head. And what Hannah was promising here was the Nazarite vow. She was saying unto God, amen, hallelujah, that he will be raised as a Nazarite. He will be raised for the service of the Lord, and he will serve you in the temple, that when I give birth to this man child, when you give him to me, amen, I will bring him back that he will serve at the temple under Eli the priest, amen. So, beloved, amen, I want you to look at here where it says here, her prayer is also among the longest recorded in the Old Testament. Her prayer includes the most recorded utterance of Yahweh's name by a woman. She is shown avoiding the faults of the first infertile covenant woman by seeking help from Yahweh rather than pursuing crafty schemes. Let us turn to Genesis 16 and 2. Amen. What did Sarah do when God told Abraham that him and Sarah would have a child? Amen. Sarah, when she thought God was taking too long, what Sarah did was Sarah came up with her own plan, and she gave her handmaiden unto Abraham that he may lay with her, amen, and that Sarah may bear a child through the handmaiden Hagar on her knees, amen. And so, beloved, God don't need our help. God don't need you. Hallelujah. If God says he's going to do something, God is able to do it without our craftiness. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Sarah found out later, amen, after Hagar had bore her child, Hagar started looking at Sarah differently and started taunting Sarah because she thought that she was more than what she was because she had Abraham's child. Amen. Genesis 16:2 says, and Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray you go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Amen. So you find that, hallelujah, this is not what Hannah did. Hannah did not resort to crafty schemes. She went directly to the Lord, and she stayed in the presence of the Lord until her petition was granted. Amen. When the priest Eli came into agreement with her request was from God. Amen. You will also see that she also avoided the fort of Jephthah, who likewise made a vow that separated him from his child, whereas Jephthah gave his daughter as a burnt offering, Hannah gave her child as a living sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. And, beloved, the word of God says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And so we all should give our bodies, those of us in Christ, is our reasonable service. Amen. To give ourselves over to the work of the Lord. Amen. And you can look up, amen, Jephthah, amen. I didn't really expound on it, but I will say this much. He was in the throes of battle of life. He was in war, and he said to God and made a vow, hallelujah, that if God was to allow him to be victorious in the battle that he was in, that the first one that came to greet him out of his household, that he would sacrifice them, a burnt offering unto God. And who came out the door first to meet him was his daughter. And he was sorrowful, amen. And he had to sacrifice her. And so it separated him from his child because he had to keep his vow unto the Lord, amen. And the word of God tells us that it's better not to vow at all than to make a vow to the Lord and break it, amen. If you make a vow unto the Lord, you ought to keep your vow. Sometimes when we are fasting, amen, we go before the Lord in prayer, amen, to start off the fast, amen, hallelujah. And fasting is a covenant. It's a vow, hallelujah. And sometimes we break it before it's time, amen. When that happens, you ought to repent, amen. You ought to repent. So you find here that Peninnah in the Bible here is called Hannah's rival. Amen. She was a troubler unto Hannah. Amen. She insulted Hannah. She taunted Hannah. She caused for Hannah to wept. These insults appear to have been particularly distressing during the annual festival time at Shiloh because the family sacrificial meal. Amen. And I spoke about this a little bit, that rewarded Peninnah maternal blessings, also insulted Hannah's improductive womb. Amen. As a result, Hannah lost her desire to participate in the meal and would not eat. Now we want to look at this. Hannah wept and prayed before the Lord in bitterness of soul. Hallelujah. Have you ever cried before God like that? I believe that last night, hallelujah, there was a little bittersweet in my all-night prayer when I stayed up seeking the Lord and praying to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. There will be times when situations and circumstances of life will keep you before God, hallelujah, in prayer, will keep you, amen, bitterness of soul. God wants all of you, hallelujah. You can take all of that to him, my God, because he knows what to do with it, amen. And so, beloved, I also want you to take a look at, hallelujah, Jesus, what do we want to look at now? Let us look at Hannah's prayer. Let us take a look at that. Amen. Hannah's prayer. Hannah's prayer was specifically addressed to the omnipotent deliverer of those in distress, the Lord Almighty. When Hannah prayed, she called God the Lord Almighty. Amen. Not too many people call God that, the Lord Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we want to be mindful how Anna went to him that was all powerful. Do we take our problems, our distresses, amen, to God? Do we go to him, or do we get on the phone and call up everybody and want to talk about it, amen? And they don't have no resolution for your problem, amen? Her pain has made her a theologian. And the reason why we say that is because no character in Scripture prior to Hannah had ever used this term to address the Lord, God Almighty. And you will find that when you're going through out of your pain and your distress, and when God delivers you, or when you're seeking his presence for deliverance, amen, hallelujah, it qualifies you as intimacy with God and calls for you to know him in an all new way. Amen, hallelujah. Because before being afflicted, you wouldn't have known his statutes. Amen. And before being afflicted, amen, you wouldn't have known him as a deliverer or a healer. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so there is going to be some going through and some coming out in order to know God more intimately, beloved. And I pray that that is all right with you. Everybody want a blessing and everybody want a testimony, but nobody want to go through the test. We have to go through the test, beloved. Amen. In her prayer, She implicitly recognized that the Lord alone is the giver of life. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have to know this. I don't care what is dying in your life. Hallelujah. Anything that is dying and hallelujah that is supposed to live, only the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, can quicken you and bring it back to life. Hallelujah. So wherever there is death or wherever something is shut up or locked up, something that should be coming forth, you don't want to die with it buried. Whatever is buried there, whether it's giftings or whether it's talents, amen, only in the presence of the Lord can these things be locked. Only by the quickening of the Spirit of God can it be made alive. Amen. Amen, beloved. Let us look at here. Hallelujah. She also understood that the proper position of a believer, amen, in relation to the Lord is that of absolute subjection. We have to bring our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit, all of our extremities and members of our body, our total being under the subjection of God. Amen. All of it should be under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even your flesh must be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That it does not reign in you. Amen. Three times she referred to herself as your servant. Hannah humbled herself, and the term that she used, servant, was as a female household slave. Amen. She also recognized that a relationship with the Lord involves giving and not just taking. Amen. And we spoke about this because the Word of God says that Hannah made a vow. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see in the Old Testament as well, it was a custom. Amen. They did not come before the Lord empty-handed. Amen. Even pertaining to the sacrifices, whether it was a sin offering, a burnt offering, amen, whatever type of offering it was, they had to bring in something, amen, before the Lord. And a portion of that, amen, went to those that worked the household of faith, which was the Levites. Amen. Beloved, I pray that this here is blessing you, that you are getting a lot from what it is that God, amen, is saying in this scripture text. So Hannah made a vow, amen, an act without equivalent for a woman elsewhere in Hebrew narrative, amen, but conditionally permissible for a married woman, amen. Then it wasn't a custom for a married woman to make a vow without her husband, amen. You can read Numbers 36 through 8, amen, hallelujah. In those days, if a woman made a vow and if her husband was present and didn't agree with it, the vow would not stand. If a woman made a vow and her husband was absent, amen, when he heard about the vow, he could either agree with it or disagree with it. If he disagreed with it because she made it in his absence, it would not stand. But I tell you something about Elkanah. Elkanah was the type of man that he agreed with Hannah with the vow, and he allowed her to give their first child from the woman that he loved, that he gave a double portion to. He stood with her in her vow to the Lord, even though he was absent, and allowed for his first son from the woman that he loved to serve in the temple forever, to be presented to God as a Nazirite. Amen. Elkanah was a mighty, mighty good man. Amen. Hannah asked that Eli not take her for. Let us take a look at this right here. When Hannah was at the temple praying, she was at the altar, amen. The Word of God says that Eli marked her mouth. Do you remember that in the reading? Amen. Because Hannah spoke, hallelujah. Her mouth moved, but no words came out. And I wondered, was it a custom for people to come before the Lord in the temple drunk in those days? Why would Eli think that she was drunken? The Word of God tells us that we ought to be sober-minded. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Listen, some people believe that it's all right to drink, but when you drink it, anything, it impairs you. You're not sober-minded. There's no clarity there. And so Hannah said unto Eli, amen, do not take me for a wicked woman. She said, as a daughter of Belial, worthless, amen, hallelujah. So in drunkenness, amen, hallelujah, she says, don't take me as someone that is worthless, that will come and disrespect the temple and the presence of God. Hannah is telling him that I am crying out and praying out of great anguish and grief. I have a sorrowful heart. Amen. And Eli, hallelujah, what Eli did after that, hallelujah, he came into agreement, amen, with Hannah's, hallelujah, vow unto God with her petition. Amen. And Hannah found favor, hallelujah, in the sight of the Lord. Hannah found favor, hallelujah, in the sight of the Lord. Beloved, in the closing out of this text today, we're not going to be before you long. I want to be able to read, hallelujah, we saw in the text that after Eli, who got it wrong, who thought she was strong and she wasn't, sometimes ministers of the gospel do get it wrong. Amen. But when we get it wrong, we ought to say that we're wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. But what I want you to know that even though Eli was wrong with her being drunk, he was still able to bless her as a priest of God. He was still able to bless her. That's what the priests do. The priest will bless you, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He was still able to bless her and come into agreement with her petition. And even as he said that it shall be done unto her, the next time she lay down and knew her husband intimately, did Hannah conceive. Amen. Hallelujah. So when Hannah turned away from Eli in the temple, she was joyful in heart. She was able to eat. She had received it in her spirit. Amen. Whatever was locked up in her that God had locked up was unlocked. Amen. And she was able to conceive and bear Samuel. Amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that the very thing that she vowed and promised after she weaned him from breastfeeding, amen, that's what it said, that weaned him from suck, from breastfeeding, amen. After she weaned him, she took him up to the temple. She brought in another sacrifice. She did not come empty-handed, my God. And she kept her vow to the Lord. And she gave Samuel, amen, unto the work of the temple. And there he stayed. Hallelujah. And he served, amen, the Lord up under Eli, the priest, my God. Hallelujah. And I just love this, amen, because woman, you can make a vow unto the Lord. You can come into covenant with God because he has a covenant relationship with you through your faith being in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is your husband. Amen. But I love chapter 2, verse 1, because, amen, God blessing Hannah and unlocking her womb, it brought about a song. And if you was to read, amen, hallelujah, chapter 2, it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. Amen. And I love this text because everything that Hannah says, she's not boasting in herself. She's not boasting in her child. She's not thinking about her adversary. She is bigging up the Lord. Amen. She is exalting the Lord. God has done this, and that I have entered into his salvation, that he has saved me. Amen, from the ridicule. Amen, hallelujah. It also says there is none holy as the Lord. Amen, for there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. Take no more so exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Amen. So, beloved, listen, God does know your heart. He knows if your heart is evil and deceitfully wicked. He knows if your heart is totally surrendered and under subjection of the Holy Spirit. God knows. Amen. So many people go around saying that God knows my heart, amen, hallelujah. And so they believe that they could continue on doing the things that they do because they say God knows my heart. He does know it, amen, and he weighs it, amen, the thoughts and the attitudes of it, amen. God knows what you won't tell, my God, hallelujah. And so we want to be mindful. I love here how she knows Jesus Christ will know God as her rock now, my God. Hallelujah. She knows that he's holy and that there is no one like him. Amen. And this is how we want to come to know God intimately, like Hannah did, through Hannah's distress, through her ridicule, through her pain. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. She came to know God more intimately. So we can learn something from Hannah. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We can learn something from Hannah that it's good to wait upon the Lord and that there's a place that he wants us to, that he wants to get us to, a place where we're making covenant with him, where we're vowing with him, where we're in the word of God, where we're in constant prayer with him. Amen. And I want you to see that after God had blessed Hannah, that there was a great rejoicing. Amen. Sometimes we're blessed by God, but we don't seal it with a praise. We don't rejoice. We don't tell him thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. And we don't even go about and being a witness of what it is that God has done in our lives, letting our light shine. Beloved, when God put a testimony in our heart, when he deliver us, whether it's of some type of sickness, some type of illness, something that is spiritual, amen, whether it's demonic possession or oppression, amen, whether he regulated our mind and whether he blessed you financially, whatever it is, we want to be a witness, amen, to the Lord that there is no one like him, that he is holy, amen, he's omniscient, omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's almighty, that God has done this, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. So, Father, on tonight, we thank you for the word that has come forth. We thank you for the example of Hannah, amen, a woman of faith, my God, that had influence on the history of Israel. Lord, make us influential, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Grace us to be unique and different and to embrace our differences, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Grace us, oh God, to serve our generations. Grace us in a fervent, effectual prayer life, oh God. We need your grace. We need your provision. Turn our face towards you, oh God, and let it be upon you like flint. Give us hands, feet, and take us to our high places, oh God. In the name of Jesus, by the blood, deliver us from every affliction, as you have said it in your word. Grace us to withstand the test of time. Hallelujah. And we give you glory. And we give you praise. And we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Beloved, on tonight, we want you to be able to share, hallelujah, what it is that you received from the lesson tonight. I believe that I still have a little bit of time to be here for a few shares tonight. Amen. Sister Latasha, would you like to share what it is that God revealed to you in this lesson or how it blessed you tonight?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Would you like to share what you got from the lesson tonight?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
What I did get tonight was the deliverance part. You said something that I did not know as far as when you get delivered, it's your chance where you can actually go into prayer because you're covered. And I didn't realize that, as opposed to knowing that God is actually, you know, listening. Sometimes you feel like, oh, he's not there, or maybe he's just far away. But when you mention the deliverance part, that shows that you have a gateway as to where he can hear you. And I took that, you know, I got that pretty good tonight.
Amen, amen. I'm glad to hear that you was blessed by that. And I just want to share, amen, a scripture text with you, Romans 10 and 8, based on, because sometimes it may feel as if he's not so near. Amen. But the word of God says that the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. If we would just open up our mouth, even when he may seem far to you, you can draw him near. You could put a demand on his presence because he inhabits the praises of his people. This is why our worship and our praise is so important, because it sets an atmosphere. Amen. Romans 10 and 8 says, Hallelujah. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, the word. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do with the word of faith. Amen. And where the word is, so is God's presence. Amen. Because remember, God's word is God's breath. Amen. Even when we echo it, my God. And so,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He's omnipresent. He's there. He hears you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so,
amen.
Just be mindful of that. Amen. He's not far off. He's very near. He's nigh thee. And I love the word of God. It says, draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto him in your prayer and your praise and your worship, and he shall draw nigh unto you. Amen. And he will uphold you, my God. Amen.
Amen.
So whatever it is that you're going through, you don't have
to worry about it.
Amen. Just put
Hallelujah.
Your focus on him. That's right. That's how you praise him, woman of God. That's why I praise.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
It's all right to praise
Jesus.
Him.
Hallelujah. Hey. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God. Hallelujah. And praise is a liberty. Hallelujah. You will find that there are people that are bound. And when they bound, they can't even call on the name of Jesus. They can't even say thank you, Jesus. Amen. But you have a liberty to praise him. And he said, let everything that have breath praise ye, the Lord, my God. So you want to draw him there, open up your mouth and talk to him in praise and in worship.
Amen.
And let it be a lifestyle of obedience unto him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God be glory. So I'm happy tonight that you were blessed through this lesson. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus. Amen,
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight that those that are on was blessed, my God, by what it is that you have set forth through your word on tonight. Oh God, even as they listen to it, oh God, let them pull more of the resources, my God, out of the lesson in Jesus' name, and may it bring glory to your name, God. For those, amen, that are on the line and that will listen to the recording, if there be one on the line tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if this be you, hallelujah, if you have not yet accepted him, if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, see, people will say, I know Jesus. But do you know him as Lord and Savior? Have you repented? Amen. Hallelujah. Is your faith in his finished work at the cross? There is one way to God, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love this gospel because this gospel tells us, hallelujah, that faith in him will change you to a new creation and a new creature. No other religion says that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not transformed in anything else, amen, that wants you to believe. But in Christ, the word of God tells us that you become a new creature, a new creation, born of his spirit, my God, a spiritual being. So if you want on the line tonight that knows him not as Lord and Savior, amen, just say that it is I, and we will walk you through, amen, the sinner's prayer. Is there one on the line tonight? Hallelujah. That would like to accept him. Hallelujah. That want to try Jesus. Hallelujah. That want to be in right standing with him. Is there one? Hallelujah. Is there one? My God. For those that will listen to the recording and you heard the gospel, amen, through Bible study, amen. Hallelujah. We ask that you repent of your sins, Lord Jesus. Here I am, a sinner in my sins. Come into my heart. I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you are Lord, and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that you resurrected, baptized me with your Holy Ghost and fire, and I'll serve you for the balance of my day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank God. Amen. Beloved, if you have believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth For salvation is unto confession. You are no longer a sinner, man, woman, boy, or girl, but you are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah, the righteousness of God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit them unto you, that you will finish the good work that you started in them, that all the change and the bondage of darkness shall be loosed from them, O God, that your anointing fall down upon them even now, O God. O God, that the chains, O God, of bondage and evil be abolished, O God, be destroyed from their neck. In the name of Jesus, by the blood, we give you glory, praise, and honor. All of heaven rejoices at one soul that giveth their life to Christ. Beloved, I also want to share with you that we are Cornerstone Deliverance Church, located at 323 Post Avenue in Westbury, New York, 11590. Amen. Hallelujah. You can call us or come to worship with us, 12:30 worship service on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. Sunday school. Amen. We have an online Bible school that will bless you, that you can take classes on. Amen. Anytime at your own pace, www.cornerstonedeliverancechurchtheologicalinstitute, beloved. We had just did a Women's Day conference up in Clay Hill, New York. It was an awesome move of God. Some of that is on YouTube already, just the ministering part. Look forward to the word that came forth, which was a very powerful, influential, impactful word. Amen. With great revelation. And tonight, I believe that we should be releasing, amen, the Father's Day message through our Bishop Isaac Walter Hurd. So also look for that, amen. For those of you that do not have the app downloaded, we ask that you download the app, and we promise you that it will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Latasha, I ask that you close us out in prayer.
Okay. 1 minute. Okay, could you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Hello? Could you hear me?
Yes.
Why is it so low?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, I'm ready. Father God, I just want to give you all the praise, all the glory. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for Apostle Asia Hurd. Father God, I thank you for the word that was released tonight upon us. And God, I give you all the glory. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beloved, let us go in peace and serve the Lord and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage again. Let us take heed to what the Holy Spirit has released. Amen. Do this study, and may it bless you, and may you echo it. Go and be a witness of Jesus Christ. Amen.